We say to the Lord God now, we give thanks for your church and all that it means to us. And we thank you, Lord, that you continue to speak to us through your precious Bible. May we always be willing and ready to hear your precious word. I'm a big fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but I was really let down by the last Avengers film. And I'm going to give you a spoiler alert here. It's been out for a while. I'm sure if you've been into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you would have seen Avengers Endgame. But Iron Man dies. I was really upset. Iron Man dies. It's not right. A major superhero. It doesn't seem just to me, especially as he had just helped to save the entire universe. Of course, it's not just Hollywood heroes who die for the noblest of causes. There are many of them, of course, in times of war and in peace. Think of smoke jumpers who are jumping into the Australian bushfires at the moment to stop the spread of those fires that are ravishing. Well, think of California too, you know, where they are causing great devastation. Heroes, those firefighters. But when we think of war, we inevitably remind ourselves of soldiers, of nurses, and civilians, of course, and we can say they are heroes, one and all. Those who have risked or sacrificed their lives to save another, or indeed to save the day. And we rightly bestow medals upon them, even posthumously, recognizing their commitment, their loyalty, and their courage. Now, I come from a family with a strong tradition of service in the military. And for the last few years, since my grandfather's passing, I've been very proud to wear his campaign medals. I think this service today reminds us all and helps us to appreciate the struggle and sacrifice of those who have fought to secure our freedom. Today is a service where we praise and thank God that we live in a nation that is protected by soldiers, by airmen, by those in the Navy, both men and women. And we recognize in this commemoration every act of self-sacrifice and every act of forgiveness. I'm certainly able to say from war that we can see new life rise from tombs of sorrow. And yet, as I stand here today, I can say to you that we are still a people at war. What are we at war with? Well, we are at war with hunger in a world of plenty, with sickness in a world of advancing knowledge, with terror in a world of jihad, with homelessness in a world of refugees, with people trafficking in a world of modern human slavery and exploitation, with murder in a wave of gun and knife crime. And all weapons ever do, is make widows and orphans and bring grief. And biblically speaking, the sound of Rachel weeping for her children is still heard across the world. And that's because humanity has a flawed past. You see, despite being encircled by the love of God and made in his image, when the devil tempted Adam and Eve to disobey and rebel against their creator, the human race was plunged into a war that it could not win, fighting an enemy it could not beat. And in a world filled with sinful people, hatred, trouble, conflict, injustice are the order of the day. Now, the Bible tells us that we are to pray for those in authority. Monarchs, presidents, and governments. We are to pray that we can sort this political mess out that is Brexit. We need to pray for the upcoming elections. On December the 12th. One of the reasons that we pray for our leaders is to bring peace into the world. But one of the reasons for this is that peace is the way that the gospel effectively does its work. Peace is necessary to spread the gospel. War actually prevents this. English and German missionaries in Africa, particularly think of German missionaries who established hospitals and schools along the sort of the East African coast, Tanzania. When war in Europe came, all missionary activity ceased. The peace that we pray for is the peace that allows the gospel to do its work. Because all of us know that actually in this world there can be no truce, no treaty, no true peace until God's kingdom has been fully declared. And that will not happen until Jesus returns to this world. The special Hebrew word is shalom, the peace that we desire in our hearts, the peace that we sang about in the last hymn. O God of hope, your prophets spoke of days when war would cease. That will be when Jesus returns. It's the goal for the future, that universal peace. And that peace is promised in the very first gospel that was preached by the good Lord himself. In our book of origins, the book of Genesis, in chapter 3, verse 15, we read this. I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will strike your head, you will strike his heel. From this prophecy, and from all the prophets who promised a different age, we see a picture of a savior soldier fighting a holy war. The seed of the woman is an allusion to a future descendant of Eve who would have no human father, because biologically, a woman produces no seed. The promised seed would therefore have to be miraculously implanted in the womb. And in this way, the child to be born would not inherit sin and would therefore be accepted as a perfect sacrifice. And that's what makes it a Merry Christmas. From the earliest ages, humanity, the world over, has recorded its hope that someday a Savior will come. A Savior who would destroy the devil and would reconcile man back to God. The verse I've just read to you anticipates, of course, the future virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Not just a soldier, but God's Son, a captain of the host of myriads of angels. The Savior sent to finish a war that he didn't start. But rather than fighting to end this war and to save this profane and polluted world, Jesus would win by dying. And today, we remember the sacrifice of many. But it is the suffering of the most important man who has ever lived, making that ultimate sacrifice, turning the cross into the greatest weapon ever. We who are being saved know it is the very power of God, was in our text from Corinthians today. Because when the lamb looked like it had been slaughtered, the heir to David's throne has won the victory, and his blood has ransomed people from God from every tribe, every language, and people and nation. And Phil will agree with me on this, that it is a privilege for us to be foolish preachers of this imperishable truth. We build on our imperfect present, remembering that even while we were still enemies of God, our friendship was restored by the death and blood sacrifice of his precious Son. Because unlike Iron Man and all the fictional superheroes that die, all is not lost. It's not about how or when Jesus died, but why Jesus died. And when we understand the cross and what happened after his death, then we understand why only Jesus can give every one of us the ability to win the war against our two greatest enemies, sin and death. Thanks to his resurrection, we have reconciliation. We have justice, we have mercy, we have forgiveness, and we have eternity to look forward to. God required the offering of sacrifices in order to let people know just how serious sin actually is. All the Old Testament sacrifices, and the big one, the Passover festival, were symbolic payments of letting people know that the true payment was coming into the world. Because the old system, under the law of Moses, was only a shadow. It was a dim preview for the good things to come, because it is not possible by the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And you know what? When I read a verse like that, I am so pleased, because I would not have any livestock left with the number of sins that I commit. Jesus was crucified to demonstrate the justice of God. Like any debt, all debt must be paid. Sin cannot be overlooked. And all these repeated sacrifices that we see in the Bible could never provide that perfect cleansing. So the Savior soldier did the greatest thing any soldier can do in a war. He gave his life for the spiritual freedom of you and me. He struck the head of the cunning adversary, as the prophecy said he would. And in the process, and having to stand alone, separated from his Father for the first and only time, we get the agonizing cry of dereliction. My God, why have you forsaken me? And it's all because this foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans. And God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. When our Lord was crucified, another man's life was spared there and then. Barabbas was supposed to die on the middle cross between those two thieves. They may even actually have been his mates. He's in this story because possibly maybe he wandered over to the foot of the cross, keeping his distance from the Romans, I'm sure. But in his newly found freedom, did he recognize that Jesus, whom he didn't know and had never met, was dying in his place? You see, Barabbas is in this story because I am Barabbas. You are Barabbas. We are all Barabbas. Jesus was not only his substitute, he was our substitute. He died for us because he was the only soldier who had the power to win the ultimate battle. And we too can defeat by putting our faith and trust in the Savior soldier Christ. We can win and claim that victory. Before we were even born and this world was created, God's Son agreed to become the soldier who would take the sin of the human race upon himself. He would take the punishment. He would pay the bill. He would fight the battle and win the war. It was the only way that God could forgive us, because his mercy, demanded by his justice, was delivered by his grace. Amazing grace. We can't defeat sin in our own power. We can't win this war that we're in our own power. We need to surrender our lives to Christ at the cross so that the Savior soldier who rose from the dead will come into our lives, will fight our battles, and will give us victory over sin and life after death, where we can be promoted to glory. So absolutely today, thank the Lord for the peace that we currently enjoy. Remember those who have fought so valiantly and given their lives in service to this nation. But please know which side you're on, because history is moving to a morally satisfying and God-ordained conclusion. And Jesus will have no compassion on his enemies, because the source of grace is also the seat of judgment. And Jesus will judge and conquer his enemies. He will make war the final battle with perfect justice. So today we anticipate the prophecies of Holy Scripture. And as soldiers of Christ, we should arise, we should put our armor on, believing that tomorrow or next month or next year, things really will be different. For we can be sure that God's purposes will always be accomplished. So love in the Messiah to you, and blessed be his word. Would you pray with me, please? Precious God Almighty, thank you for revealing the extent of our sin and delivering us through your victorious Son. In a world of darkness, give us your light, and let your rule on earth begin with us. Send your Spirit to rekindle the passions of your people, to take your gospel to all nations. And may we be found as faithful as those early disciples who set the world on fire with the message of your grace and judgment. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our soldier, our captain, our friend, our King, and our judge. Amen.